I believe that we've balanced all the interests of all the parties in this police reform debate. I, of course, had some amendments that went a little further, but I believe it's the perfect bill now for all of us to sign and work on together.
And State Representative Holmes, do you feel the same way?
I believe just part of the process is making sure that the core four cornerstones that the elected of color stood in front of the State House are in any bill that shows up. And I can tell you just throughout all of the negotiations, those things have not been at risk. I am pleased that they continue to be in the bill, even with the governor's amendments.
And would you list those four cornerstones for our listeners, please?
Sure. The four cornerstones, to me, the central, most important part of the bill is the possibility to decertify police officers, or what we've called POST, peace officer or police officer, however you may want to put that. Police officer standards and training, which is a requirement for a certain level of training in the Commonwealth, a certain amount of requirements for what they're going to have for certification to be a police officer, but most important, to be able to decertify a police officer when they go out of what we would expect for any police officer. The second is what Brett Miranda sponsored, was the use of force models about what to do about chokeholds, no-knock warrants, what to do about duty to intervene, and the like. And then we wanted to reform the way we look at civil service, which is how we hire our police, fire, and EMS. And then finally, a lot of commissions and work to be done around structural racism, as that is very important, because many people feel like structural racism does not exist, and it offends, and it continues to offend many white people. When I talk to them, I was just actually having a conversation with my manager and a partner. Again, it just feels as though it's a racist comment for when black and brown people say structural racism exists.
There's so much there, Representative Holmes, and I want to come back to Representative Miranda for just a minute. State Rep Holmes just laid out the four cornerstones. I noted that you also had an amendment in the bill to severely restrict the use of so-called no-knock warrants by police. It's the type of warrant that became the subject of so much attention after the police killing of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. You actually were a co-author of an op-ed in the Boston Globe last week, along with Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, DA Rachel Rollins, and Boston NAACP President Tanisha Sullivan, arguing that that's really important to preserve. Are you concerned, therefore, that the governor may strip it out?
You know, as we laid out in the op-ed, you know, we know that public policy should be designed to protect and value the lives of all, not just some. And we argued in that op-ed that SWAT-like tactics of no-knock raids, they pose significant danger to innocent families, unarmed suspects, and actually officers, too. I was concerned earlier, but I'm not concerned now because it looks like the governor has actually sent out some amendments. But we know that we got to keep fighting. We don't need another tragedy. You mentioned the death of Breonna Taylor, but there are over 110 deaths a year happening due to no-knock warrants and over 1,000 in police-involved interactions. And they're happening disproportionately to communities like us, to black women and black men like us, and to our children and our elders. You know, when I wrote that amendment, I wanted a full-out ban on no-knock warrants, but my amendment was moving us closer to having like a heightened level of scrutiny and allowing only judges, not clerk magistrates, to make these decisions where there was a credible threat to officer safety without it. And the provision that really caused a lot of debate really required that officers confirm that no children and seniors are in the target location. And so as black women and black men, we know all too well the experiences of the communities we represent, and we know that we can have public safety and police accountability go hand in hand. And so we're pushing, and I'm going to do everything in my power to push my colleagues, to push the governor, and push the legislature to not support any changes to this bill, because folks worked really hard on this, and I do believe that it is a balanced approach.
Representative Holmes, you've been an advocate for reform on issues of criminal justice for years now. Earlier, when you gave us the four cornerstones, you talked about POST, the Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. You know, over the summer, as the bill was being developed, I think we had a lot of attention on qualified immunity, and there was a lot of sense that that was going to be a big lightning rod, a big source of controversy. Coming out of committee, it seems that a big area of controversy, especially for law enforcement, is this nine-person body, this commission, and the fact sure. that only three of those members would be law enforcement officers. The Boston Police Patrolmen's Association tweeted yesterday calling that power imbalance tantamount to a quote-unquote firing squad. Did you anticipate when this bill came out of committee that this was going to be such a controversial piece for law enforcement?
I did not. I did know from the beginning that they wanted, they were offended that the board was not going to be literally 100% of people who are in law enforcement. But to me, it's offensive that that's their position, because what they've said to me the entire time is that we as police officers don't want bad police officers on the command staff or in our team or in our ranks. Well, it shouldn't matter who's on the board and how many people they have on the board. If they are true to what they have said, when something comes in front of them, just like it comes in front of every jury that we have in this country every single day, you don't have to be an expert at what they've been doing every single day. And so these folks, all of these officers, should understand, just like they arrest people and then they have to be held accountable in front of just all the ordinary citizens should as well as them, be involved in this conversation of whether or not we take their license or not. That seems
so I understand that. I do want to stop you there and ask you, though, we're talking about 3 of 9, and just to kind of walk all the way through this. So there is room for there to be potentially more law enforcement officers without there being a majority. And I do want to ask you to address head on the claim or the criticism that it takes someone with specialized knowledge to understand a job that requires specialized skills.
Okay.
How do you address that piece of it?
I say there are 12 members on every jury. You don't make them have to be an expert to make those decisions. They arrest people, and they expect people to go in front of 12. Now they want to have a supermajority or a majority when we're making a decision about them just because they're police officers. Why are they different than everybody else in society? It doesn't make sense to me.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And State Representative Miranda, following on to that, so we have spoken with a number of law enforcement representatives at various times during this reform process. And I want to ask you, do you believe that there was a police reform bill that could have come out of the State House that would have been meaningful to you and could have received endorsement from law enforcement unions? Was that a possibility?
I don't think so. You know, for me, this is not, you know, from the beginning, we've made it clear that we centered racial justice in our conversations about police accountability. As the person who, you know, Russell and I both, Rep Holmes and I both have largely of color districts. And I believe strongly that police can't police police. And what we've seen across this country and even the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is this narrative that they know best. And if they knew best, and they could hold themselves accountable, we wouldn't have this large number of 1,000-plus people and families across this country that have dealt with police-sanctioned homicide or the families that have dealt with these no-knock warrants. So I don't actually support any more officers on this committee. I believe that in the legislation, which I fully support the makeup, I would have loved to see more advocates and social justice representatives. But it was clear from the beginning, particularly when you're talking about use of force guidelines, when you're talking about banning chokeholds, banning the use of dogs and tear gas, it was a really hard-fought battle to change the mindsets and public opinion from folks to say that Black lives do matter. And that we don't only value police officers and those in law enforcement and government, but we value everyday citizens of our Commonwealth, and we want to make sure that Massachusetts is safer and healthier and more secure for them. You know, it's really been troubling to me that this narrative that it doesn't happen in Massachusetts is actually going around there, and most of the unions have used this to promote this propaganda. It is not true. Policing in communities like Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan differ quite from policing happening in other more affluent, more white communities.
So State Representative Holmes, just there, State Representative Miranda, fed back some of the pushback law enforcement have given around the fact that this was a police reform bill that perhaps wasn't necessary here in the Commonwealth because it was in response to police brutality, police racism happening in other
miles
states.
Away, they said,
yep. Yes. And State Representative Miranda just gave us an answer to that. I want to ask you to weigh in, too, and I'm going to sharpen the question for you. And we have this moment. The governor's going to make a choice. There will be an outcome. What is at stake now for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with this bill, in your mind?
As sharp as you just made it, I'm going to still make it even sharper for me because it's personal. To Rep. Miranda's point about it's happening today, I had a very unfortunate incident in my family where my sister, just 3 or 4 years ago, or maybe even 5, was standing at the Dudley Square train station and was pulled aside trying to help someone she thought was being inappropriately treated at the MBTA and was abused, batoned, beaten, arrested, simply for trying to stop the police from harassing what she felt a person she didn't even know. And I can tell you, my sister has never been the same. That confident lady that I knew before she was beaten that day is not the same person today. And so what is at stake is that folks like my sister should be able to sit at the Dudley Swift train station and be compelled and know and be able to know that any police officer, whether they be state police, Boston police, MBTA police, would be held accountable for any misdeed that they've done. And their license and their ability to continue to be a police officer will end the moment we find out that that is the case. And that should happen here in Massachusetts, not just in the other 47 states or whatever, 46 states that have a post system in place today.
Representative Holmes, I'm sorry that that happened, and I appreciate you sharing that story with us. Thank you for that. Representative Miranda, so last question to you. Amendments are coming in now. So that implies that the governor is not going to sign the bill as is tomorrow night. There is not a veto-proof margin on the original bill in the Massachusetts legislature. What is the next step now?
So I will do everything in my power to push my House colleagues, as I've done since June and before June, not to support these amendments, because I do believe that the risk of failing is actually too high and Black lives are on the line. When I think about what we as electeds of color stood out on the state house steps and pronounced with our 10-point plan, we were not doing that just because we're elected, right, of color. We did that because we have lived experiences like the one that Rep. Holmes shared, that we have family, community members, friends, even in some cases some of us have been inappropriately communicated with and harassed by police. We cannot afford to let this go. We have to fight. And so I think part of what I've been doing, and my colleagues have been right beside me, is that we have to reimagine policing to make all of our communities safer. And I do believe that this legislation is a first critical step in the legal system, and it's a part of this long-term vision. We understood when we presented this budget, when we presented this legislation and the accompanying budget amendments and other amendments, we knew that we were just starting with the beginning. Massachusetts is not immune to racial injustice. It is not immune to police inaccountability and misconduct. And so for me, I'm going to push back, and we're going to fight together. And I need everyone in the Commonwealth. You know, I've heard a lot of people say Black Lives Matter in the last few months. We now need to show up, show out, and prove that this actually matters to us. I think for the 20% of Black and Latino people who are in the Commonwealth are really depending on us making sure that our lives value as much as anyone else's. And
Representative
I apologize,
Liz
I'm a little
Miranda.
Emotional. I mean, I think that part of our work when we go to the state house as, I think, one of 13 out of 200 legislators, 13 people of color, and then 200 legislators in total, is that we bring our full selves to this work. And this is deeply personal and deeply emotional, that we are at a crossroads in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and I want the legislature and the governor to do the right thing, to do what is not easy, what is uncomfortable, but what is morally right.
That was State Representative Liz Miranda, who represents the 5th Suffolk District, and State Representative Russell Holmes, who represents the 6th Suffolk District. And again, we reached out to representatives from multiple law enforcement unions to join the conversation, but they either declined or didn't answer in time for the show.